Was that Rick Santorum thing? Are you sure that was real? Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, it's another Geeky Boners episode. Tim's hard for theater, Nick's throbbing for Ultron, and I love my new job, penis.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-host, Nick Glover.
Hey, hey.
And Tim Wick.
Hey, hey, hey.
And guess what, guys? It's a boners episode.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm so hard.
It's been a very long time since I've had a boner.
I know. I usually have boners more frequently.
It's because I'm old. But I...
I will say, my boner today is very hard. So, yeah. And I do not mean difficult.
You've been stroking it all day.
I have been. I've been stroking it for almost a month.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's just jump right in. So, yeah. let's start with Tim.
Hey.
Tim.
Yeah.
What's got you throbbing?
My geeky boner is actually Jenny Bandage versus the Unpronounceable Acronym, which is the show that I wrote for Fearless Comedy Productions. It's going to go up about, 2 weeks after this podcast comes out. So,
nice.
Great opportunity to promote it, but seriously, it is the first full-length show I've written, and I'm happy with the show. I really love the casting that we've got for it. We had a read-through about a week ago, and the guy we got to play the villain is just hilarious.
Is it the first full-length show you've written alone? Because you've written other shows, so...
Full-length. I've written Fringe shows.
Fringe isn't full-length.
Fringe is 45 to 50 minutes,
huh.
So this
How
show
long
is about 90 minutes.
Oh!
It has an intermission.
Excellent.
I've written shows before.
This isn't
so much more difficult than any other show, except that it's longer.
Right.
But it's the show about, and a lot of my writing lately has been informed by skepticism, atheism. And no, this show is not a show about atheism, but it is a show about a scientist secret agent. So there's a lot of science, and I threw in some jokes about homeopathy just because... I think homeopathy needs to be made fun of at every possible opportunity.
I proofread the script, and I can tell you it's super funny. Like, it is. I enjoyed it very much, and it's hard to find the comedy in a play reading it sometimes, but not in yours. It was there, and I'm really excited to see it acted out.
Yeah, it's just super silly, and I came up with a whole bunch of weird ways to play with the spy genre. It's like, well, I know I'm doing a James Bond parody, which is where Jenny Bandage came from. She has the same initials as James Bond. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the character's named Jenny Bandage.
Like how John Carter is an analog for Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Whoa.
JC, right. Molly, you didn't get that? The white Christ of Mars?
Yeah, no.
Mind blown. So, it's in rehearsals right now. It opens on the 29th of May and runs through the 13th of June. And I will say that I hope a lot of people go see it. It's a Fearless Comedy production. And it's one of those things where we need ticket sales. We really need to get people to go.
What theater is that again?
It's at the Black Forest Event Center in Minneapolis. So.
Which is a really cool space. If you haven't been to the Black Forest Inn, it's a great restaurant.
It is, and
bar.
German food, really fantastic.
We had a surprise
Possen
party.
And Spatzel.
We had a surprise party for Nick there when he turned 30.
That's true.
Just a few years ago.
I know.
And so they've got the main restaurant, and then there's like a beer garden, mm-hmm. and then there's this other building, and the other building across the main restaurant from the beer garden is where Jenny Bandage is taking place. And we did it, on the assumption that when you've got an intermission, people can go out and grab a beer, bring it back in. It's going to be set up cabaret style. At least part of the house will be set up cabaret style. So we've got a chase sequence that's set up to go through the audience.
And what does cabaret style mean for people who may not know?
It means you've got tables. You've got tables where people can sit and eat. And it's not just standard theater style seating.
There will be some like Honey. Like when we have shows at Honey.
Yeah. So I'm it took a long time to write the show, and I went through a lot of iterations with it, had a lot of people beta read, including Molly.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really happy with it, and I'm really excited to see it actually show up on stage.
You're so beta.
I'm a beta bitch.
You're a beta reader. That's the fun of writing a show, you know, is finally getting to see it on stage.
Yeah.
So that's my boner, is that this show is going to be on stage.
And who's directing it?
Is being directed by friend of the show, Andy Wilkins.
Yay! Andy!
She is great. And also Matt Alex.
Matt, friend of the show, is in it.
I'm trying to think if... I think he's the only...
Is this Andy's first full-length directorial... Is this her directorial debut?
She's directed before. She's directed shows down in Lakeville.
Okay.
Some community theater shows. Yeah. So I think she has a theater degree, too.
Yeah. She probably did some... I mean, if you have a theater degree, you had to direct something.
She's been doing a lot of theater. So she's got a full resume that I just don't have in front of me, so I can't tell you everything that she's done. But
how dare you, you useless
what
Tim.
What a monster.
I think I could be wrong about this. She will no doubt correct me if I am. But yeah. I think she... this is probably the first original...
I'm sure.
She's done. Yeah. So she gets to be the debut director.
Well, that original. I heard it's a ripoff of James Bond.
Oh, you know.
I heard the main character's related to Dan Aykroyd.
Oh, and Chad Dutton's doing music for it. So
excellent.
It's
going to
be like live music and sound effects at the show.
Oh,
and if you saw Top Gun the musical, then you know that Chad Dutton does some awesome, like, he's great at doing the onstage music, like being part of the music on stage, but also being part of it. Like, he's not just scenery. Like,
he's a character. Yeah. He'll be a character in the
show.
He's
such a character. You're a character, Besh.
Yeah. So that's my boner.
That's a nice boner.
Please, I'll make sure there are the links. So if you're listening to this episode, click on the link on our webpage and go say you're going to go to it on Facebook, even if you aren't.
Even if you aren't, because it really does help visibility for events. Yeah. If all of our fans said that they were going, that would actually really help us out, because it would mean
really
that
confuse us
more
if no
people
one
will see. Yeah?
Well, you know what else I should point out? Friend of the show, Brianne Bilyeu, was one of my readers. I had her reading it specifically for the science content.
Oh, cool.
It's Bilyeu Science Certified.
Bilyeu Science Certified.
Ding. I need a little ding, kind of like a check mark.
It was fun. There were a couple of things I put in there that I'm like, I just put in some silly science shit in.
Yeah.
And then her comment was, actually, here's an article that shows this is true. Like, sweet.
That's awesome. So from Fearless Comedy Productions, first completely original full-length production, we move on to, I guess that's not true. I guess we had a Grave Freight was completely original. I didn't think about that.
Written by
Never
friend
mind.
Of the show, Josh Knight.
My segue is a lie. And so I guess I'll just say, Nick, what's your boner?
My boner is Age of Ultron, the second Avengers film.
There are no strings.
I'm going to try not to spoil. I'm going to try to talk about it without...
It's been out for 2 weeks. It's been out for two weeks. You should have seen it by now.
So, I forgot the actor's name. The Andy Serkis plays Ulysses Klaue, who has smuggled some vibranium out of Wakanda, and he's been branded as a thief in Wakandan. And it's like he becomes the Klaue, a Black Panther villain later, and you know,
which they're doing a Black Panther movie,
and they're doing a Black Panther movie.
They've announced that, mm-hmm.
And we're gonna see T'Challa in costume in Captain America: Civil War. And let me just say, if Age of Ultron is anything, it is not a sequel to Avengers. It is a prequel to Captain America: Civil War.
Oh yeah, for sure. I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Above all else, I love Ultron. James Spader is fucking amazing as Ultron. Is a perfect casting. The Vision has his phasing powers.
Paul Bettany.
Paul Bettany does a great job.
He's doing a good job.
The Stan Lee's cameo was really funny.
Yeah.
P.S. We're spoiling Ultron, so maybe stop.
Not really?
Well, I'm just saying we're gonna spoil it because I don't want to accidentally.
There will be some spoilers.
Yeah. I'm trying not to.
We're warned.
Yeah.
But yeah.
They did a little bit of. I think Black Widow got more lines of dialogue than anyone but maybe Tony Stark or Ultron.
Yeah, too bad she didn't get any toys. But you know.
Well, she did. Yeah. I mean, that motorcycle was pretty sweet.
Well, I mean, he means,
no, no, I mean
like,
toys.
He
actual,
means merch.
Like,
Actual Black Widow toys.
And I mean, that's like outside of the people who make the movies control.
Right, yes.
I feel like she was very well represented in the movie. They did some Red Room flashback stuff with her, which is spot on with the comics. So good. It doesn't have to be spot on to the comics for me to appreciate it, but the fact that it was and it was well executed, like, I really liked. There are a lot of little things in it. The female scientist that's working with Tony Stark.
The Korean scientist.
Yeah. So okay, I didn't catch her name until the credits, but she's Helen Cho. Helen Cho is the mother of Amadeus Cho, who is one of the 10 smartest people in the Marvel Universe. The fact that they had her in there, even if they never do Amadeus Cho, who's like, you know, buddy companion of Hercules, which they'll probably never do him either, was great. When Tony Stark is looking through alternate, like, helper programs, one of the names, one of the AI names is Jocasta, which is... Yeah. Jocasta is designed to be Ultron's bride.
Jocasta, and she actually ends up, is it New Avengers? She ends up being like Mighty. The in-house, for Mighty. Mighty Avengers, she ends up being like their, she ends up being their Jarvis. Like, she's their in-house.
Yeah, right,
like,
kind of.
Not maid, but like, house help. Like,
she's the Jarvis. She's also their Avengers mansion.
She's their calendar, like she's their every,
And I found this out, I hadn't realized this during, but... Every single Phase 2 Marvel movie, which is everything everything after Avengers and up to Ant-Man.
Okay.
In every single one of those movies, as a tribute to Empire Strikes Back, the second Star Wars movie, someone loses a hand.
Really? That's awesome.
And so, I'm not going to say who or why or how, but someone gets their hand chopped off, and I love that. I don't know.
But you did say. You did say earlier.
No, I didn't say.
Well,
I didn't say.
Said.
Yeah, it's fine. Anyway. We saw it at the VIP. We saw it VIP at the Icon, which is the way to see it.
Thursday, 7 p.m.
Did
no 3D.
Did you guys see 3D or did
no?
You
see,
no,
yeah,
fuck no 3D.
Me either. Fuck 3D. Yeah.
Yeah. I was really pleased with it. I mean, it's just like the first Avengers movie. There's not like, it's not super deep.
Yeah,
it's an action.
It's a popcorn film, but it's a well done popcorn film.
Yeah,
I think and I need to see it another couple of times. Pat and I came out of it both thinking, we really liked it. I think the first Avengers movie knocked it out of the park, and this movie felt like a triple. It was a really solid movie, and it only pales in comparison to an absolutely fantastic movie.
I agree. I agree with the laying the groundwork for Civil War because a lot, and they've said they're doing Civil War differently than they do in the comics.
Everything they say about it, makes me more excited.
But they really laid the groundwork for a few things. One, the discord between Cap and Tony Stark.
Yep.
And them having fundamental disagreements on morality and ethics, which is a big part of Civil War.
They both want to be superheroes, but how that means is very different to them.
The responsibility and the charge. And then on top of that, the discussion of the Hulk setting himself apart and being like, I can't go fight where there are civilians because I will Hulk out. Like, I can't be trusted, which is a big part of Civil War, is some of these people can't be trusted. We need to classify their powers and classify them in levels. There's just so much there. And also the stuff with the twins sets it up for that.
Sure.
The idea of like when there's a line in there where Cap says, they're saying, oh, they're monsters. And Cap says, yeah, what kind of monster would let a German scientist do experiments on them to help fight in a war for their country?
Yeah. Nice line.
They're like, well, we're not at war. And he says, they are. And I think that's a big thing is it's the idea that the Civil War is, because it turns out that like the non-powered civilians kind of feel like they're at war with all these powers that are fighting above
them. How it ends with Tony Stark, just like where they leave off with him, seems like he's headed in the direction of Civil War. And
Tony Stark makes some really bad choices in this film.
For all the right reasons. Yeah. It's the thing.
And that's Civil War.
It is.
Tony Stark makes all the wrong decisions for all the right reasons.
Yep.
Well, that's kind of Tony Stark, I think.
It is.
Yeah.
A lot of Tony Stark, because he makes bad decisions for good reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I liked Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. They don't go super deep on either of those characters.
And they don't call them Scarlet Witch or Quicksilver.
But
they
they're in the credits as such.
I know. And yet they called her Wanda Maximoff. Well, and they called him Pietro Maximoff.
And the twins.
It's interesting. A lot of the time they don't... Has anybody called Hawkeye?
Yeah. His code name, Hawkeye.
Okay.
Yeah.
They never call him Hawkeye when they're like fighting. They call each other often by their first name, except Captain America.
Cap calls everyone by their last name. Yeah. And I was noticing that. Yep. He says Barton. He says Romanoff. Yep. He never says Natasha or Clint, or he says Banner, Romanoff. Mm-hmm. He always uses last names because he's a military guy.
Yeah.
And that's what you do.
Yep.
And everyone else was a civilian. So everyone else uses first names. Because even if they were like assassins or whatever, they were still civilians. Yeah. They weren't in the military necessarily.
Also, the way they bring in like War Machine and Falcon, and they bring in these other heroes that mm-hmm. are because they're all Avengers, right? I mean, in the comics
they are now. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, in the comics, Sam is
because a lot
War Machine's
of
not
a lot of
strictly...
I mean, much like the Justice League, there are characters that kind of come in and out of the Avengers.
Yeah.
I mean, shit. At one point, like Sandman, the Spider-Man villain, was an Avenger. I mean, you know, there's. Who hasn't been a fucking Avenger? But
especially after Disassembled.
Yeah. Anyway, my boner.
That's a good boner.
Is a blockbuster.
That's a Python.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Molly, what's your boner?
My boner is so I can talk about it in very vague terms, just funny. But my boner is my new job.
You
get to see the silhouette of your boner.
Yes, you can see this. You can see the shape and size, but you can't actually see the skin detail. You don't know. Mm. You don't know the little. You can't touch it.
Yeah,
can't touch it yet.
I'm gonna have to be careful.
Can't touch it until it's released.
You questions.
I know. You can ask questions. I'll answer them to the best of my ability. I know what I can and can't say. So I am now a game producer at Fantasy Flight Games. I started on March 30th, and it's been the best. Like 5 weeks probably of my like adult career life. Like it is the perfect thing for me. But from the people I work with like directly every day to my boss who is
all those people in sales are assholes.
No,
right?
It's just I was worried that I was gonna lose my camaraderie because the people in sales were I was so close with, and I was worried moving over there because I get worried, and I was like, maybe they won't like me, or maybe they'll think I'm too brash, or maybe I will have personality clashes. But there's been none of that. Everyone's awesome.
You're not working
I love
with
them.
Stomberg, are you?
Well, I still am. Yeah, I mean
you're in the same building, but
yeah.
He's not like in your department.
Not in my department, but he comes by all the damn time.
Because you can't keep him away.
Right. I mean, it's, you know.
Stay away from my woman, Stomberg. You too, Jeremy.
I was playing Captain America there. They see what it. Anyway.
Yeah, it's great. And I have several projects. I have been disabused of my notion that people work on the creative side work on one project at a time, which when I said that that's what everyone on the other side of the building thought, everyone laughed very hard because I am currently working on 5 games, but there's one that's been my like main focus because it's coming up sooner. And so that one is almost, it is so close to being done. It is like the last finaglings. I actually, one of my colleagues came over today and was looking over my shoulder toward the end of the day and was like, oh, you should change this word to something else. And I was like, no. We've had this conversation with, it is staying this, and I appreciate you, but no. And we were all laughing, but I was just like, get the fuck out of my cube, because it's not changing. This is what it is.
It's going to say produced by Molly Glover.
It is going to say game producer Molly Glover with Jason Walden, because he's helped me a lot, and that's how it works.
So when you say game design.
Producer.
Game producer. Somebody else designs the game, and
yes.
Then you basically put it together?
Somebody else designs it, and usually designers come up with, I don't want to say very rough concepts, because it varies from designer to designer, but they come up with a game, and then my job is to write the rule book, lay out the rule book in InDesign, work with graphic design to come up with things like card templates, and I work with the art department to come up with the art. I have to write art briefs. Like, if these cards are all supposed to have, like, let's just say we're doing a Muppet. Okay, we're not doing a Muppets game. Let's say we're doing a Muppets game, because I'm looking at Muppet stuff in Tim's office here, and it's like there's a Kermit card and a Miss Piggy card, and it's like, okay, we're going to do artists. I have to write up a brief that's like Kermit sits at a desk and is on a typewriter.
Right. For what, so you're and describing art, what the card should look like.
What the
like.
Art should look like.
Not and, necessarily yeah. what they're going to draw, but this right. is the basic thing that needs to be pictured.
And then
on
it
the
comes back and I approve it.
Elements that need to be yeah. in the picture.
So I assemble everything. Basically, like, you it's checking for spelling and grammar, consistency of terms, rules, mechanics, making sure the rules make sense. I do the play testing. I do the quote for the factory and get the budget and make sure that we're coming in with the right margin and under the print run. I have to determine what materials we're going to use to get that quote to the right spot. It's basically, it's like movie producing in the sense that it's everything. You kind of have to touch everything. You kind of have to have...
You're not necessarily the person that does everything, but you're the person that makes sure everything gets done.
That, and sometimes, like in the case of the game I'm doing now, you are the person that does everything. So it depends on the game. Sure. On this game in particular, I have done pretty much everything. I have written the rule book. I have written all the cards text. I have done all the, just all the things, come up with the ideas for the icons, all these things. It's great. My graphic designer is fucking amazing. He has helped me. Everyone's been really great because it's my first game. So I require, I don't want to say a lot of hand holding. I require a lot of arrow pointing. Sure. And I have learned how to use InDesign throughout the course of this project, which has been really fun for me because I've always really enjoyed, for theater stuff, for Fearless stuff, I put together things like the auction cards and the certificates that we do for those auctions and things like that. Like, I've done those from scratch. And so I enjoy making documents like that. So, it's just everything I'm good at and nothing I hate and nothing I'm not good at so far. I love every bit of it. My boss,
that's awesome.
My manager totally gets me. He is all about, like, he asks me, like, how do you need me to communicate with you? Like, everyone I work with is good at being direct. And if they're not blunt, they're at least direct. A couple people, like my cube mate and I, are both very blunt, like, question askers. And both of us are of the opinion that it's like, just because I'm asking a question doesn't mean that you're wrong. Like, and so it's been really fun. I have more playtests to run tomorrow, and it's supposed to be like, it should be like done and, like, according to the deadline, ready to go off to the printer by the end of next week. So
awesome. I can't wait for when that game comes out and we can talk about it.
I just can't wait till we announce it. Once we announce it, I'm excited to talk
about
it.
All about Molly's first game.
It's true. We can play it.
Play the game.
We can play my game. I don't know when, but we can play it and discuss
like games.
It.
Speaking of games, folks, I do have to say this just because you brought it up.
Yeah.
I have to mention that our Brianne Bilieu at Omega Spring brought me a Bible Tribond.
Right,
it is in my
is it a trivia game or
it is
a,
do you know what Tribond
it's
is?
It's a trivia. Yeah.
So Tribond is a game where you have a card and there are three things on the card and the person reads the three things and you have to say what they have in common. What's their Tribond? So for example, in the regular game, it might say agent, recipe, Santa. And you would say, are these all things that are secret? Tribond. But this is for the Bible.
This is for the Bible, which is going to fuck it. But
I don't remember who pointed out that it should have been called Trinity. But
so we're going to have to find somebody to play that game with us.
Oh, it'll be like butt sex, shellfish, mixed fabrics.
Yeah. These are things Leviticus says you can't do.
As bad as being homosexual.
Yeah.
I was going to say the parts of the Bible that everyone ignores.
That's good too.
Yeah,
I don't know that would.
But anyway, sorry to interrupt, but it seemed like a point.
No, that is great.
Topical.
I was just that's really all I had to say is just I know we had that episode about getting jobbed and I had previously talked about sad I was at my job, and actually today one of my new departmental coworkers on the way out said to me he's like, hey, you seem so much happier in this new job than you did in sales. I'm like, oh, dude, I am immeasurably and indescribably happier than
great.
I was. The point I've made is, I don't give a shit if we sell, $1.6 million or $1.7 million, but it fucking matters to me if we're putting the infinitive before the verb or after. Like, that fucking matters. Yeah. That's an important thing that we will discuss for 20 minutes. So
that's nice. Well, we both have boners about the new job.
It's true. It's I have to point out
for Jenny Bandage, it's the first show I've ever gotten paid ahead of time. It's a commission.
Yeah, yeah.
Commission work, so that's exciting.
Nick, I will say just quickly, because he is too modest to whack off his own boner, but Nick is going to have all A's almost certainly at the end of the semester. Yeah. For the first time since he was in like grammar school, basically.
Three of my four classes are done, and I'm guaranteed A's. I have one exam on Monday for my last class, and all I have to do is not fuck it up, which I don't think I'm capable of doing.
So if you guys are wondering, is it worth it to take the risk and quit your job and, you know, follow your dream to work from home? Quit your job and go back to school so you can get a better job.
And then watch Age of Ultron.
Tell your boss that you don't like your job and maybe see if there's something else for you. Take the risk, man. We'll see how it goes. The reward is better.
6 months from now, someone's going to write it in the podcast and be like, Geeks Without God, you ruined my life.
And I'll be like, sucker. Maybe you should turn to the church.
Yeah, more good jobs for the rest of us, bitch.
Yeah. That fictional guy is such a bitch.
Yeah.
All right. Quit your whine and take responsibility for your own life, fictional whiner.
Those are our boners. Let us know how your boners are throbbing. If you guys are hard about something recently or if you share a boner, if we have your same boner, you know, let us know. I hope you don't have my same boner. That'd be weird. Yeah. All right. Or Tim's same boner, for that matter, because you're a plagiarist.
Yeah, really. Seriously.
All right.
I wrote that fucking show. It was me.
I think it's time for five questions.
Five questions.
All right. Five questions this time come from Eric Herman. And I will tell you guys that we are currently on December 16th of last year. So if you're wondering when we're going to get to yours, figure it out. December 16th is where we're at.
Question number one, what's the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
Big Hero 6.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Big Hero 6.
The movie itself was good. Baymax was novel and brought some great comedy to an action film that was otherwise just decent. The best thing about the movie was that I brought my 3.5-year-old daughter. So far, she has been obsessed with Frozen. I wanted to introduce her to something a bit more geeky than that. The theater was one that served alcoholic beverages and chocolate milk. It also has decent food and a children's menu. The popcorn was freshly popped, and a waiter brings it to your seat. She still loves Frozen more, but at least Marvel Comics are now on her radar.
Yeah.
Frozen's geeky. It's got a sorceress.
It's pretty geeky, and it's based on Swedish like mythos folklore and stuff.
I love the Stan Lee cameo in Big Hero 6.
Oh yeah, like
that is so awesome.
The final one, yeah, that's
it's adorable. Yeah,
that's cool. Question number two: what is your favorite atheist character?
This is a hard one because I haven't watched a lot of TV or movies lately, what with the 3.5-year-old and all. But being a Star Trek fan, I'm going to go with Q.
Q. Mm.
Granted, he probably thought of himself as a god, but he didn't think there was any higher power. I like that he set up morality plays that pointed out how puny and deficient humans are, and the fact that we are not the center of the universe. He directly demonstrated this by introducing us to the Borg. He was a fairly two-dimensional character, a plot device really, but useful in showing us our place in the universe and highlighting our own faults.
Hmm.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like the idea that Q is technically an atheist because he believes there's no higher power than himself.
Yeah.
I mean, really, that's what that is, right?
Like,
I don't think Q was two-dimensional. I think they did a lot of things with Q over the course of 7 seasons that expanded his character.
Wasn't he technically four-dimensional at the time?
He was like out of dimension. Non-dimensional.
It's like the Marvel character, not Dr. Nemesis, Fantomex. Fantomex. I was genetically programmed not to believe in anything, any power higher than myself.
Exactly.
He's an atheist, yeah. Question number three, what's your geekiest hobby?
I have one hobby, collecting hobbies. The hobbies I've collected include coin and stamp collecting, juggling, pottery, sewing, home improvement, role-playing games, online games, geocaching, and many others. Any number of those could be considered geeky. Also, I currently have my own public radio show, The Nondescript Atheist, at Fairfax County Public Access, each Thursday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern, streamed live at radiofairfax.com. Sorry, but I couldn't pass up the chance for a plug.
No problem here. Radiofairfax.com, everybody. Check it out every Thursday.
read http://.
Wow.
I'm just so used to just reading what's on there that I, okay, that was embarrassing.
All right.
So if you want to have Molly just say something, sneak it into your five answers and she'll just read it.
She will. Question number four, what is your favorite sandwich?
My usual go-to sandwich is the Reuben. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
However, I'm not a fan of rye, especially seeded rye. Mm. The best brand I've found is pumpernickel.
Pumpernickel's good.
Also, I'm not a huge fan of Swiss. I prefer Gruyere. And
Gruyere's good.
And either sauerkraut or coleslaw is good. I'm not sure how many ingredient changes make it no longer a Reuben, but who cares? My seasonal sandwich is the post-Thanksgiving turkey sandwich. Mm. This sandwich must be served warm and must include the whole meal, including turkey, preferably dark meat, mashed potatoes, gravy, cranberry sauce added cold, and whatever else is in the fridge.
Right. All right.
That sounds delicious.
That works. That sounds good.
Who's love Thanksgiving food? Question number five, what's the stupidest thing anyone said about you, about your non-belief?
Pascal's wager in all its forms still tops the list. It assumes, one, being convinced or not being convinced of anything is a choice. You can choose to study a subject, but you cannot choose to be convinced by what you read. Two, the choice would be between their God or no God, and not maybe some other possible God that actually likes that people think. Three, God is stupid enough not to see through the fact that we're just doing this on a bet with no real sincerity. Plus, there are no religious people I've ever met who became religious because of this argument. So yeah. Pascal's wager is the stupidest.
Yeah.
Pascal's wager, and I don't know if we've ever specifically talked about that. That's the idea that somebody says to you, well, since if you believe in God, you'll go to heaven, and if you don't believe in God, you won't go to heaven. Isn't it better to just believe in God?
Yeah, hedge your bets.
Because, hedge your bets.
Yep.
That's Pascal's wager.
That is, so that is Eric Herman, yes, you can use my name, from Reston, Virginia.
Well, I'm glad.
Because we did.
Yeah, we did.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I would have been really sad if I got to the bottom. Eric Herman, please don't use my name. I've been
crap,
like,
we got
to
edit it out.
Sorry, Eric Herman. I did it again. Crap.
That's something I lead with,
Eric Herman. The anti-atheist are going to...
Oh, fuck, I swore. Oh, shit, I swore again. Balls.
Language.
The anti-atheists are going to come after my 3.5-year-old daughter. Oh, my God.
Oh, no. All right, so...
by about this point, it's almost a 4-year-old daughter.
Yeah. You can send your answers to our 5 questions to 5questions@geeksithoutgod.com. You know, we have maybe like 3 or 4 to get through, so, you know, we'll get to you soon. Yeah. Probably sooner rather than later. We just have so many amazing guests, you guys. Yeah. We can't help it. Thank you very much. We've enjoyed having you. I hope you've enjoyed listening to our bonus.
Well, hey, you know, we should mention one thing really quick.
What's
this
that?
Is like our 150th episode.
What? Hey. 150th what? Episode?
It means nothing. It's just an arbitrary number, but that's a shit ton of podcasts.
This is my cheerful noises. That's awesome.
That's all we got.
That's pretty great. Yeah. What do you guys say? Should we do another 150 episodes?
Let's at least. What the fuck?
All right, fuck it. Fuck it, we'll do it. Yeah. All right, just for you guys, just for you listeners. All right, please like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, rate us on iTunes, and give us 5 stars. I don't care if you want to give us 5 stars. You're going to do it because you're a soulless, morally bankrupt atheist. We'll be back on Tuesday, so you should be here too. Bye.
Bye.
We all also have Star Wars boners.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
More Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter @GeeksWithoutGod. Social media!
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Oh, boner sound effects. Can there ever be enough? I don't think so.